said he. "I hardly know which of you will best supply the place of old Antoine Breguet. 30 years ago, and pardon an old man's vanity, I could have borne away the palm from 100 like ye. But my sight is dim, and my hands tremble. I must retire from the place I have occupied in this busy world, and I confess I should like to give up my famous old stand to a worthy successor. Whichever of you produces the most perfect piece of mechanism before the end of 2 years shall be my partner and representative, if Rosabella and I both agree in the decision." The granddaughter, who was busily spinning flax, looked up bashfully and met the glance of the two young men. The countenance of one hushed and his eyes sparkled. The other turned very pale, and there was a painfully deep intensity in his fixed gaze. The one who blushed was Florian Amaud, a youth from the French cantons. He was slender and graceful in figure, with beautiful features, clear blue eyes, and a complexion fresh as Hylas, when the enamored water nymphs carried him away in their arms. He danced like a zephyr, and sang little airy French romances in the sweetest of tenor voices. The one who turned pale was Pierre Berthaud, of Geneva. He had massy features, a bulky frame, and clumsy motions, but the shape of his head indicated powerful intellect, and his great dark eyes glowed from under the penthouse of his brows like a forge at midnight. He played on the bass viol and the trombone, and when he sang, the tones sounded as if they came from deep iron mines. Rosabella turned quickly away from their expressive glances, and blushing deeply, resumed her spinning. The Frenchman felt certain the blush was for him. The Genevan thought he would willingly give his life to be sure it was for him. But unlike as the young men were in person and character, and both attracted toward the same lovely maiden, they were yet extremely friendly to each other, and usually found enjoyment in the harmonious contrast of their different gifts. The first feeling of estrangement that came between them was one evening when Florian sang remarkably well, and Rosabella accompanied him on her guitar. She evidently enjoyed the graceful music with all her soul. Her countenance was more radiantly beautiful than usual, and when the fascinating singer rose to go, she begged him to sing another favorite song, and then another, and another. "She never urges me to sing with her," said Pierre, as he and Florian retired for the night. "And with very good reason," replied his friend, laughing. "Your stentorian tone would quite drown her weak, sweet voice, and her light touch on the guitar. You might as well have a hammer and anvil accompaniment to a canary bird." Seeing discontent in the countenance of his companion, he added soothingly, "Nay, my good friend, do not be offended by this playful comparison. Your voice is magnificently strong and beautifully correct, but it is made for grander things than those graceful little garlands of sound which Rosabella and I weave so easily." Pierre sprang up quickly and went to the other side of the room. "Rosabella and I," were sounds that went hissing through his heart, like a red-hot arrow. But his manly efforts soon conquered the jealous feeling, and he said cheerfully, "Well, Florian, let us accept the offer of good Father Breguet. We will try our skill fairly and honorably, and leave him and Rosabella to decide, without knowing which is your work and which is mine." Florian suppressed a rising smile, for he thought to himself, "She will know my workmanship as easily as she could distinguish my fairy romance from your Samson solos." But he replied, right cordially, "Honestly and truly, Pierre, I think we are, as mechanicians, very nearly equal in skill. But let us both tax our ingenuity to invent something that will best please Rosabella. Her birthday comes in about 6 months. In honor of the occasion, I will make some ornaments for the little arbor facing the brook, where she loves to sit in pleasant weather, and read to the good old grandfather."